You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's Political Commentary.
With Max Harris this morning. Kia ora, Max. How are you today?
Kia ora, Rachel. I'm doing well. How are you?
I am good, thanks. It's nice to hear from you. There's been plenty happening in the media cycle this week. Let's start with the sort of prisons conversation we've seen and a pretty confusing press conference that happened. Mark Mitchell and Chris Luxon perhaps contradicting each other a wee bit. Do you want to walk us through what happened there? What was the announcement they were trying to get across and why was there some confusion around it?
Yeah, absolutely. So every Monday, most Mondays, the government does what's called a post-cabinet press conference. They come out of cabinet. They usually have a big announcement to make. This week it was $1.9 billion going into prisons, and in particular going into more prison beds at Waikeria Prison, where several years ago there was an uprising, partly because of conditions. And as you said, this turned into a little bit of a mess. So one journalist called this the government's worst press conference so far. Basically, Mark Mitchell, the corrections minister, and Prime Minister Christopher Luxon seemed to be at odds. They weren't sure whether this money just what was going into the kind of infrastructure, the like bricks and mortar, mm-hmm. or the spending on corrections officers. It wasn't clear whether it was 800 new beds or 200 beds. So much so that the Prime Minister had to release a comment soon after to say they'd gotten a bit mixed up and they had to send out a clarifying press release, which is very unusual. I think, it was shambolic, but the process did take attention away from a debate on the substance of it.
I was going to ask about that. We've talked a lot about the way it kind of was rolled out, but what do you actually think of the announcement, Max?
Yeah, so this is a revival of the mega prison proposal that the last government put on ice. New Zealand has a higher prison population than many countries. That prison population was starting to come down because of the kind of acknowledged harms, in particular of prison sentences removing people from their families. This is reversing that trend, putting New Zealand back up in terms of prison beds and prison population. I think one particular point to zoom in on is a very small amount of this announcement, around $80 million, was to go into rehabilitation services for people on remand. That mm-hmm. means people who haven't actually been convicted of a crime. I think that's filling quite an important gap, which is at the moment people who go into prison on remand, and that's over 40% of our prison population, aren't able to get rehabilitation services. And so those people might have major issues that they need addressing and they can't get services. But what I would say is it was a tiny fraction of the announcement on Monday. So it was under 5% of that announcement. It fills a gap, but it goes nowhere near properly filling that gap.
Mm, it is an interesting one. We'll definitely be following along with that. There's been other announcements this week from the government. One that's actually just come out in the last day, Justice Minister Paul Goldsmith was talking on RNZ about how there's not a lot of countries in the world who do same-day enrolments, which means you can enrol and vote in a general election on the same day, and that there is a potential discussion happening about whether or not we should be rolling that back in New Zealand. It is quite a recent addition to our roles here, but what's your thoughts on this? Is it important that we have same-day enrolment? Why does that even matter in the first place?
Yeah, I think it is important that we have same-day enrolment. It ensures that people that haven't yet enrolled and that haven't been engaged by the political system get that chance right up until voting day. And yeah, just to explain a bit of context for people, so the Justice Minister said that there was evidence of some mistakes and some strain on the Electoral Commission last time because of same-day enrolments. He said that rather than spending hundreds of millions, this was his words, in bulking up the Electoral Commission, they might just consider removing same-day enrolment. It seems like a kind of disproportionate reaction from my end. There were actually no mistakes shifting any outcomes as a result of any adjustments that had to be made due to minor errors made. And also, I think it's highly unlikely that it's going to cost hundreds of millions of dollars to provide a few more staff for the Electoral Commission to ensure that everyone gets their say. I think there's nothing too much more important than making sure people get their say at an election on voting day. And I think we should be wary of some steps in different countries towards restricting voting rights. For example, the introduction of a photo ID for voting in the UK. I think we should be wary about going down the same path here.
It's a very interesting one. You might not have this information, to hand, Max, but do we know what impact same-day enrolment has had on particular demographics? Is that something that we know about?
I don't have that statistics to hand. What I do know is that we know people that tend not to vote, including people who tend not to enrol. That's disproportionately Māori. It's younger people. It's low-income people. So I think ensuring that more of those groups who've been disengaged by our system are engaged is probably a good thing for our democracy. And I think probably the government should be doing all it can, and the Electoral Commission should be doing all it can to engage those groups rather than to make it even harder to vote.
If people have been on Twitter, perhaps in the last day, or in seeing news headlines, they might have seen a conversation around tikanga Māori requirement for law students. KC Gary Judd has made comments about this shouldn't be part of, teaching requirements. That's been pushed back against by other KC out there and other people working in the legal profession. Winston Peters has taken his side, though. Could you just wade us into this a wee bit? What has actually been going on in the last day?
Yeah, you're right. It's a bit of a Twitter storm, but there is an important issue underneath this. Yeah, just to step back, several years ago, the New Zealand Council of Legal Education made the decision that all law students should learn a little bit about tikanga Māori as part of legal education. Several years later, not clear why there's been that delay, this King's Counsel, the senior lawyer, has waded in, and he said he's asking the Council of Legal Education essentially to reverse its decision. And Winston Peters has then weighed in too, after AUT Law School Dean Kylie Quince criticised the senior lawyer's position. What I would say is that this is part of the New Zealand legal system, tikanga Māori, which is Māori law, and there's increasing understanding of what Māori law looks like prior to colonisation. Actually, for a long time, lots of law students have learned aspects of tikanga Māori already. I did when learning legal theory, which all students have to do. So this is just making sure that it's consistent across the board. And it has become a little bit nastier after Winston Peters waded in and targeted Kylie Quince. And I think it's creating a climate that's arguably adding to discourse about te tiriti or watangi that's hostile to te tiriti. And I think it does take us in a worrying direction where these kinds of attacks on te tiriti or watangi and tikanga Māori are becoming normal.
Yeah, it's a really storm in a Twitter cup that also reveals maybe some bigger patterns that we're seeing at the moment. So yeah, really helpful, Max. Thanks for walking us through that. Thank you for speaking with us this morning. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, Max. Take care.
Oh, awesome, Rachel. Nice to be on. You too.
We'll talk to you really soon. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.